Good morning. I want to welcome everyone. Today is, if you're a guest or you weren't here last week or you're not familiar, I was raised in church and I'm still not real familiar with like the colors of the candles for the Advent season. But today is week two of what churches have traditionally celebrated as the Advent season. And so I'm sure if you've been in church your whole life, you don't need to tell me, I probably just lit the wrong color. It's okay. I'm not sure which is which. But we are celebrating Advent, and this week we're going to talk briefly about hope. Last week we talked about peace. And what Advent is, it's the celebrating the weeks leading up to Christmas and celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ came to earth. And also recognizing the fact that he is coming back, amen, for us, for his church. And so just as we celebrate that he came, we rejoice that he is coming back. And so we as a church are spending these 4 weeks of Advent talking about how we should do Christmas different this year. You hear these things about keep Christ in Christmas, etc. That's true. But for the believer, for the Christian, as with all of our life, it should be about Jesus. And so last week we talked about Isaiah 9 and 6. We talked about the fact that Christmas is about the fact that God sent us a counselor, a God, a father, and a prince of peace. That he is our mighty counselor. And he gives us his word to live by. Remember we said we need to stop with the horoscopes and with the psychiatrists and all these things. And we need to go to God's word as Christians for how we live our life, how we treat people, how we behave. Every answer is in there. And we also talked about, if you weren't here, I made most of the kids mad because I suggested as Christians, why don't you buy less presents this year and give some of that money away to needy people, to homeless shelters, to Samaritan's Purse, to organizations, to help people that really go without. So all the kids were mad at me, but that's all right. We'll get the adults today, so it'll be good. And so Carla sometimes does this. She asked me what my sermon was about this week, and I said, really, for the Advent series, we're going to spend 3 weeks reminding us to keep our Christmas about Jesus Christ and be less materialistic, and the last week talking about the Christmas story, because I think it's so easy, even for us as Christians, and I'm not saying it's wrong to have, but it's so easy to be materialistic. I think we all have homes to go to. There's a lot of nice cars in the parking lot. None of that's wrong, but it's easy for us to make Christmas about that, so we're going to continue to remind ourselves. But today, also for Advent, this is the week where we recognize the fact that Jesus coming and the fact that he's coming back is our great hope. It is our certainty and our assuredness that he came, he lived, he died, he rose again, so we're forgiven. We get to go to heaven. We're right with God. But he's also coming back. And there'll be a new heaven, new earth. Things will be made right. There'll be no more death, no more disease, no more sickness, no more sadness. No more any of that. No more of our emotions running wild. No more depression. I could go on all day. And so today, we celebrate hope. And I have an Advent reading that I've put together that we're going to read today. It says, faith is being certain of what we hope for. We know that Hebrews says. But can we really be certain of what we hope for? I guess the best answer I have is this, is that depends. During the Christmas season, we want to think that all hopes and dreams can come true. We watch movies that make us believe, even if only for a couple of hours, that the craziest and the simplest wishes can be granted. A little girl can get a dad and a house and a brother from Santa Claus. A little boy gets the Red Ryder BB gun he's been dreaming of. It's a time of year where we want stories to have happy endings. We want fairy tales again. Adult-sized fairy tales. But some of us have lived long enough to know that life isn't always like a fairy tale. Just because it's Christmas does not mean that the little girl's going to be well enough to get out of the hospital, or that dad is finally going to find a job, or that the marriage is going to be restored. We hope for these things, but we are far from certain about them, because life is not always like the movies. We do not wake up Christmas morning to find everything as we desire it to be. So if faith is supposed to make us certain of hope, what does that mean? What's the hope that we can be certain of? And it's this, is that hope is the person. Hope is a person. Hope is Jesus. Life isn't always perfect in this fallen world. And I, as your pastor, may always seem like I've got it all together. Probably not. Or that life is 100% perfect. But let me assure you, that's often far from true. But you know what? This world isn't my home, and this world isn't our home. And hope shouldn't be things always being 100 right now today, or 100, as the kids would say. That everything's perfect, everything is right. Just because I love Jesus and he saved me and he has many promises for me, including eternity and eternal life, that things are always going to be perfect, because they're not. But we also have a realization that there's something deeper than the pain of this life, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful to know what he's like. He's the one who created a world in which without fail the sun rises every single morning. It's never less glorious than it was the day before, unless it's too foggy to see, and then we can't see the sunrise. He's the one who created a world where spring always follows winter and ice melts. He's the one who made food. Isn't food wonderful? I just love food. I bet you know what you're having for lunch today. God gave us food. Isn't that wonderful? He's the one who gave us a world that's so vast you could explore it for an entire lifetime and never ever begin to reach the end of it. The depths of the ocean have yet to be explored hardly at all. And yet the fact is it's still exciting and beautiful and wonderful. And I know that we could talk about God's goodness and it doesn't necessarily answer all the hard questions, and Christmas doesn't guarantee that all the things that we long for will become reality. All the faith in this world that I or you can have won't guarantee that pain will never come, but we also know that we have hope in a person, and that person is Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ. We know that God is with us and he came to bring us restoration and reconciliation and renewal of every part of what it means to be human. Praise God for that. Even the part of us that feels pain and suffers anguish and has unfulfilled dreams and desires. Some of my deepest longings and prayers and things in my life go unresolved, and there's still hurt and there's still stuff. But circumstances don't change who he is or what he came to do, and that anchors me and should anchor you this Christmas season as well. On the days when it seems where there's nothing that is going right, or weeks that are really hard and busy, etc., the sun still rises, and I remember that Jesus is consistent. I remember on days when it feels like I'm powerless and I can't do anything right, I remember that the Creator of all things has given me some authority in my world to bring about change. And when it seems like I'm asking for too much, God blesses and reminds me that he is extravagant and he loves me with a perfect love. There are a few people in my life and some that absolutely know me and love me and accept me, but even those people, even spouses and children and family members and friends, they will let us down, they will disappoint us, etc. But I have hope and I know that that is the person Jesus is who I am free to always trust, and so are you. He loves you perfectly. He is perfect. He is consistent. He's in control. He's extravagant, strong, and attentive. He brings about real change in our lives when we let him. He knows us for just who we are and loves us. He is perfect. He cares what I think and feel. He cares what you think and feel. And he is the hope that you and I can count on in the midst of life's deepest sorrows and disappointments. He's constantly reminding us as we are in his word and we're in church together, we're worshiping him, that he's a good father, that he is indescribable, that he loves you so much. And that's why we have Christmas and what we're going to talk about today in our message. If you have your Bibles open or if you are taking notes, I would encourage you today to do that. We're going to start in Luke and we'll be in a couple of different passages. But as we celebrate Christmas this year, I just want to just start today as we get into our message and read four verses from the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, talking about Jesus, talking about Christmas. And then I just have three quick points today to continue to remind us to do Christmas different this year. Luke chapter 2 verse 10 says, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, as we think about hope and about this Christmas season, I pray you would work on our hearts today. If there's any here today that don't know you, Lord, that they would consider the fact that Christmas is about that a perfect God, the creator of all the universe, sent his only son to live and die as a sacrifice for us, a sinful people, out of your great love. That, Lord, that grace is free. It is amazing. And it's simply because you love us, and it's why we celebrate Christmas. It's why we breathe. It's why we're alive, is to glorify and to have a relationship and a fellowship with you, which only comes through Jesus. And we praise you for that, for this day for that. Amen. We're reminded also in John 1:14, we said it last week, the Word, Jesus became human and made his home among us. He was full and is full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we've seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. If you're here today and you've maybe not been raised in a Christian family, you've never celebrated Christmas, even though you realize what it was, you've never made it about Jesus, this is the year that you can start that in your family. And if you're here today and you're a Christian and you're not doing that, that needs to happen. Three simple things you can do this Christmas to make it more about Jesus, to make Christmas have greater perspective, to make it more special for you, and to make it more fruitful for God, for His kingdom, and for His glory, which is what we are to be about. And this is the first one is a simple fact that I love and I remind myself of often, is that Christmas, you want to know why we have Christmas? Christmas is quite simply because of you and I and our sin. That's not very cheerful, is it? Let's sing a carol now. Christmas is because we're sinners. Yay! Why did Jesus have to come to the earth? Because God so loved you, and He made you for a relationship with Him, but our sin separates us from that, and God cares so much about us, He wanted and had to make a way for us to have that relationship and to be made right, so Jesus had to come to the earth. And that's why we have Christmas. It was because of our sin that we have Christmas. And when you put that into perspective, that will make you very, and it makes me very, very humble to think about all the wonderful things I get to celebrate at Christmas, and I get to have Christmas because I'm a sinner. I'm like, God is pretty amazing. I'll tell you what. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read a few verses from Isaiah that prove this point. Isaiah chapter 53. But in this context, I want you to think about this. It was because you and I were sinners that Jesus came and we have Christmas. The Bible says this in Isaiah 53, 5 through 7. It says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we're healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. You know, Isaiah 53, 7 is a verse I go to and I will give to people when they're being done wrong. When someone has done or said something and they're mad and they want to get back. Isaiah 53, 7 is a great verse for you to go to. That Jesus, the very Son of God Himself, God in a bod, in the flesh, kept His mouth shut and went to the cross. And even on the cross said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And how that should be our hearts and attitudes, even when people are mean to us or to our kids or spouse or loved ones. There's a great example. But the verse in context there, it was because of our sin that we have Christmas. That's just like our God, taking something as horrible as our sin that separates us from Him and turning it into Christmas. Turning it into watching Christmas Vacation and eating turkey and having presents. To celebrate the fact that Jesus came. So why do we then so often live lives for ourselves? Galatians 2:20, it's a great verse for every Christian. My life has been crucified with Jesus. I no longer live. He lives in me. So all I do in this earth, in this body while I'm alive, I do it trusting in Him who loved and gave Himself for me. That's a very freeing verse that I think Christmas is a great time to recognize. That we talk about freedom in Jesus. That freedom is, I don't have to live my life anymore. Man, I tell you what, I've done it. I've done some good with it. I've messed it up a lot. When I try to live my life and you try to live your life outside of the context of God's Word, you are going to mess it up. You're going to get off track. You're going to be far from God. You might experience success, but if you are not rich towards God, what do you have? The Bible says your soul could be required of you this night, and if you don't know Jesus, what do you have in this life? We have nothing. But because of Christmas, because of our sin, He came. And I think that's a great thing to remember. And I think that should make us humble. That should make us want to be merciful towards others. That a God who made us, and let's go back to the Garden of Eden, and He said, Adam and Eve, do anything you want, don't eat the apple. What's the first thing that they did? They ate the apple. He didn't just destroy mankind. He didn't end the universe just as He spoke it into existence. He, looking forward in time, knew that there a way must be made to make that relationship right, and that was Jesus Christ coming and living and dying for you and I. Man, God must be incredible. What 2 Corinthians 9:15 say? You guys think you have a hard job. I want you to think about me today. God says, thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. The gift of Christmas, the gift of Jesus, His Son, our Savior. And my very job is to take something that's too wonderful for words and try to talk about it. So you think you have a hard job. Imagine me. That went over really well. See? Great. You guys are with me today. Too wonderful for words. What God did for us. That's our first thing today. Remember that it was because of you that Jesus had to come. Now, number two, we're jumping a little bit. We're going to do this, like I said, for 3 weeks. So number two is that we have to realize this Christmas season and be careful against materialism and love for the world. Materialism is a scourge, and it gets into our lives if we're not careful. It's not wrong to have. It's not wrong to work hard. It's not wrong to be blessed, etc. But we have to be careful that we aren't loving the world. I mean, you guys realize that's something I fight against all the time. We have to be careful that we don't love the world. 1 John 2:15, 17 said this. And remember, this is coming from a context from your pastor that I like life. I like a lot of stuff in the world. I don't love it. It's not the ruling force in my life. That's the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus Christ. That's my love for Him and for my church and for my family, etc. And my love and caring about people who are lost. And that should be the same for all of us. But I live in the world too, and it's tough. But 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, don't love the world or the things in the world. If you love the world, it says the love of God is not in us. It says, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not part of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and its lusts. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Praise God. And so, again, we have to have some perspective this Christmas. Let me give you something here that might make you have a little perspective. If you're not listening, this is a good time to listen, is that in America, we spend more on garbage bags and disposable items, shampoo, styrofoam cups, to-go drinks, $4 coffees, than over half the world lives on for an entire year. You spend more on garbage bags, styrofoam cups, shampoo, toothbrushes, just those little things, than over half the world lives on for the whole year. You and I do. Now, that's some perspective, isn't it? And it's not wrong to have or to be blessed, etc. But when we think about that, it makes me think, even though we do and try to, man, could I be doing more for the poor? Could I be doing more for the widow, for the homeless, for the orphan, for the missionary? Me personally, us as a church. Proverbs 21 says this. It says, those who shut their ears to the cries of the poor will be ignored in their time of need. We must be generous Christians. We must have perspective. I'm not telling you don't buy presents, have a truck, whatever, but have some perspective if you're a follower of Jesus about how you recycle what God has blessed you with. Well, I worked very hard for it, and I went and got this degree. That's great. God gave you the ability to do that. Don't get it twisted. The Bible says don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from God. If you make good choices, and so you have, good. Praise God for that. Don't let pride sink in to your life. God is good to us. There's nothing wrong with having, but we must be so careful not to misprioritize, including at Christmas time. We talked last week, I'll say it again, read verses, read the Christmas story. Make a part of your family Christmas that you're going to give away to those in need, just like God gave to you in need a Savior. We're going to make this Christmas a little more about other people. Talk more about that in a second. Proverbs 11:25 says this. Next verse, please. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. He has called us to be generous with how we steward our finances and our time and how we forgive. He's called us to be generous in every area of our life. If you're a Christian, you should be generous. We should be generous. Don't forget also storing up treasures in heaven. If you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 4. This is a parable. We're going to have two parables today. Jesus loved parables. And I'm going to read the first couple of verses of Mark 4 to get to our point, to talk about a warning against you and I being materialistic. Jesus was teaching before a great multitude, and he gave this parable. He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about when you sit in here and listen to a sermon. He's talking about your life. He's talking about you when you read your Bible, what you do with God has blessed you with, what you do with your Christian faith. And he says this. That's what's being sowed into your life. He says, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he did that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it didn't have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone with those around him, the 12 asked him, and he said to them, "To you it's been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that they may see and that they may hear." And Jesus said, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" And in verse 18 and 19, Jesus says this, and here's what this means to you and I. He says, now those are the ones, this is what we are supposed to not be as Christians. He said, those are the ones who where the seeds were sown among thorns. The ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Christmas time, anytime, this is heart check time for you and I. Is there stuff that has entered your life that has made you unfruitful for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? It's not just money, materialism, stuff. You have to ask yourself, what has entered into my life that has choked me out from being a true disciple and fruitful and a wonderful peace, Holy Spirit-filled lover of Jesus? You got to ask yourself today, because if anything has entered your life that has done that, it's not worth it. It's not worth what it's costing you and others. And if it's materialism, get rid of it. Guys, remember that much of this world, so much of this world, so much of even the good stuff, we all want to go from here and you know, have lunch, watch a football game, maybe do some Christmas shopping. That's all fine. But you have to remember as a Christian, you have to remember what God's Word says, that the bright lights and some of the technology and the comfort and the ease and the things of this world are meant to keep you from God. They're meant to keep you from becoming, from being spiritual. That the stuff that we wrestle against in this world, the cares, the love of this world, the love of stuff, even the excessive comfort of life and pleasure, and I could go on, most of this stuff is just meant to keep you from really following or loving Jesus. And one of the things we struggle with the most is the self. Nothing will choke away your desire for Jesus like self. What I want to do, how I want to live, what I want to accomplish, the fun I want to have, the plans I have. Guys, we need to keep Jesus first in our life. And the Bible says all these other things will be added. All these other things will be added. And our third point for today, which kind of rolls from the second one, is for us to not take our focus off of the Lord or why we're here. Why you exist on planet Earth. Why you have breath in your lungs is to have a relationship with God. That's it. That can only happen through Jesus. And if he's the only way, truth, and life, why would our lives not be about him? If this is the context in which we were meant to live, why not live that way? Just as Jesus is the reason for the season, he's the reason for everything. The Bible tells us this. Again, it tells us in Colossians that everything was made. God created through Jesus everything. In the heavenly realms, in the 100 billion galaxies, on earth. Everything seen, everything unseen, all the thrones, kingdoms, everything again seen and unseen, everything was created through Jesus and for Jesus. And you get to know Jesus. I think that's pretty amazing. He died and rose again for you. He forgives you. He's coming back for you. I think we ought to, yeah, amen, we ought to be happy people. We ought to be joyful people. Do you just ever try to sit back and grasp that? That is incredible. But if your heart and life aren't surrendered to him, you don't grasp that. And let me tell you, you are missing out. And so often it's the desire for more stuff and self and pleasure, etc., that keeps us from Christ. I was reading one of the old songs this morning. If you're younger, you may not know. This is called a hymn book. And the church used to sing from these. The old people get that. That's good. But there's a song called "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." I'm not that old, but... and it says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face." And the Bible tells us to turn and fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. To live our lives that way. And the song goes on to say, "The things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And when I sat in church all those years, but I wasn't following Jesus, that seemed so silly to me. Because, man, I was right in the world, and the world was everything, and I had a billion plans. But it's so funny to hear that song and those lyrics after committing my life to Jesus Christ and following him. The things of the world do grow strangely dim. They're not that important. The stuff that happens in life doesn't matter that much. Have you ever met someone that, keep looking at me. You ever met someone who everything's just a big deal? The drama. Everything's the end of the world. And every week they've got something new that's going to make them happy. And everything's going to, oh my goodness, and I've met this and done this and read about this and this will make me happy. And every time they come home from a drive-thru, they've got a 10-minute story of how mad they are. They don't have their eyes on Jesus. That is no... Can you believe I used to live that way? That was my life. I was so mad. I was so ready to... I wanted to win everything and do everything and have everything. But when you turn your life and your eyes to Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. You don't care as much about the stuff. When you're turning your eyes upon Jesus, as you sit around Christmas morning and you see your loved ones opening presents and you have that family time or you have food to put into your belly, it's a different perspective. You're not happy that they got that. You're thankful for your family. You're thankful for Christmas. You're thankful to have just whatever it is that you do. You're thankful for the fellowship. You're thankful that you're going to be with family, friends, and loved ones if you guys are in Christ forever. And the joy you'll experience in heaven when the new heaven and new earth come is nothing. What we have now is nothing compared to that. Your perspective will be so wonderful when your eyes are on Jesus. Your appreciation of Christmas. I love Christmas. You want to know why I used to love Christmas growing up? I'm not going to lie. Because I have a grandma who used to write big checks to the grandkids every Christmas. So that's why I love Christmas. You guys know, I'm going to get in trouble. She still does that. I don't really, it's nice, I don't really care. I love getting to celebrate Jesus. I love getting to be around family. I love getting to preach Christmas sermons and read Advent readings and just the fact that Jesus came. It's just like our God to take our sin, which is horrible, and turn it into Christmas. He has turned our sin into Christmas. And let me tell you something, if you've never given him your life and you think that's amazing, you'd be amazed what he can do with your life if you'll turn it over to him. That's just what God does. That's just who he is. But we have to be so careful to make it about him. I'm going to close with Scripture's first parable. If you have your Bibles, go to Judges. Judges chapter 8, I believe it is. It's actually chapter 9. Scripture's first parable. Here's what it is. There's a man, it's called the parable of the trees. And it's a man named Jotham, and he tells this story. Jotham is a son of Gideon, who is a sole survivor of a great massacre from a man named Abimelech, who tried to kill anyone who would keep him from his throne. Abimelech is so representative of the enemy, of Satan, you want to call him, who is real in our lives. He'll do anything to keep you from turning your life over to, from loving Jesus, from making Jesus the focus of your life, from making Christmas about Jesus. He'll do anything. This man named Abimelech was willing to kill or do anything to get his throne and to get what he wanted. And in this life, we have an enemy who will use ourself against us. He'll use stuff, success, failure, pleasure, sex, substances, friendships, relationships, jobs. He'll do anything to keep you from being right with Jesus Christ. You have to recognize that. He'll even make us a people who will make Christmas about everything but Jesus. It'll be about stuff. And he'll put us in, even though we live in a great country, he'll put us in a country where you can't even call it Christmas anymore. It's the holidays now. He'll do anything, and we're falling right into that trap. And so Jotham in this story is warning Israel, God's people, against Abimelech, who represents greed and self and stuff and the world and anything that comes in front of God in our lives. And so here's what's happening. There's this man, and he's talking about appointing a king, and you have some trees. You have an olive tree, a grape tree, and a fig tree, and they have a job to do. They have a job to bear fruit. If you're a Christian this morning, you have a job to bear fruit. You have a job to love Jesus and others. You have a job to serve Jesus and others. You have a job to do at Christmas, which is to make it about Jesus, to tell the world that he took something as horrible as our sin and turned it into Christmas, and that's the kind of God I serve. A God who redeems, a God who fixes, and a God who restores. Here's the story. It says, "The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree said to them, 'Should I cease giving my oil with which they honor God and men to go sway over trees?' And the tree said to the fig tree, 'You come and reign over us.' But the fig tree said to them, 'Should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go sway over trees?' And the tree said to the vine, you come and reign over us. But the vine said to them, should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and men, to go sway over trees? Then all the trees said to the bramble, you come and reign over us. And it said, in truth, if you anoint me as your king and come and take shelter in my shade, fine. But if not, let fire come out of me and I will devour all the cedars of Lebanon. Guys, we're just like the vine and the other two trees. We have a job to do, and we shouldn't stop and let anything get in the way of us serving the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives. We shouldn't let anything get in the way of our Christmas being about Christ in our homes. We shouldn't let anything get in the way of us being a giving people. We shouldn't let anything get in the way of us giving away what God has blessed us with and making Christmas in our very lives about others. And it has become to where that sounds so foreign to some extent even in the church. Why would I do that? Because that's what God commands us to do. That's what He tells us our mission is. Dan, we're going to close in just one second. I want to give you a real great tip as we end our sermon here today. I said I challenged last week. Some of the kids are like, I get less presents now. Thanks, Pastor. If you're here today and you are unsatisfied, or you have found yourself getting materialistic, or you found yourself in a place in life where you're struggling, and I know we go through stuff, and you don't have your joy, I want to encourage you to do something. And I want to probably speak something that's probably true. You may not be focusing your life as much on others as Jesus commands you to do. When we find ourselves unsatisfied, it's so often we're never around someone who's truly less fortunate than we are. And if you're a Christian and you're not serving, you're probably not following Jesus, because we're called to serve. And there's various ways in which we all do that. But let me tell you something. You find yourself dissatisfied, you find yourself numb, let me tell you what you need to do. Don't raise your hand. I bet 90% of us or more will go to Champaign or to Lafayette or to Danville or to Indianapolis, Chicago. We'll go shopping this Christmas season. So I know you can get there. Make a shopping trip a trip where you go visit a homeless shelter and say, hey, can I make an appointment to serve here sometime? Go buy something and take it to a food pantry. You can drive over there to shop. You can drive over there to serve. Because let me tell you something, when we're never around those less fortunate than us, we don't appreciate what we have. If you're never trying to speak into the lives of lost people, you're probably not appreciating your salvation. You guys know the song Amazing Grace? You know that now a lot of the words are being changed to, instead of saved a wretch like me, saved a soul like me. No, we're wretches that Jesus came to save. And if you find yourself dissatisfied, let me give you something to do. Go serve someone. Go be around someone less fortunate. I'll tell you what, you're not appreciating life. And I have loved ones who are in the nursing home. I'm not making light of it. Come out to the service today and bless the residents there. Go visit someone in a hospital. Do something for others with your life, even more than you do. That will make you appreciate what you have. And so what we then have to say is, you to yourself and me to myself, what in the world is there in my life that is choking out my fruitfulness, my joy, my appreciation? What cares of this world? You've got them. I've got them. What cares of this world are keeping me from Jesus? And whatever it is not worth it. Would you stand with me as we prepare to sing? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you this day, and I pray you would work on our hearts. Let everyone know they are invited to come to this altar and pray, Heavenly Father, about the cares that they have going on. If they need to be forgiven, if they need to rededicate their life to you, if they need to say yes to you as their Lord and Savior, if they need to pray about committing to making Christmas about you this year. And God, I pray right now, Lord, you would resist in our lives the cares of this world, the peer pressure, the self, the stuff, the bitterness, the pride, the things that keep us from you and your best, the things that keep you from coming into our lives and doing what you do when you made our sin into Christmas. There are some here this morning whose lives are that bad, and you want to make them into something that great. That only happened when they surrender them over to you. Would you work on our hearts now as we, Lord, sing about your amazing grace to wretches like us. And may we, Lord, live by your word. Live for others, not for ourselves, this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.